Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Welcome back, I should say, on this Friday morning. It is a few minutes after 8, and we are glad that you're with us, I have to tell you. Kim, people get information on this program that they're not getting in the mainstream media. I can't stress that enough. Kim and I were just talking about these recess appointments earlier and the controversy, that the how dare Donald Trump suggest that he could use recess appointments to get his picks in office. And how dare John Thune say that he might agree with that if the Democrats buck them on this.
Right, because they say, well, this is just indicative of you know, us speculating that Trump would be a dictator. And then you remember, which I did this morning, that Barack Obama made 32 recess appointments, but no one, to my knowledge, was calling him a dictator back then.
Right, because he couldn't get cooperation from the Republicans in the Senate, so he waited till they went on Christmas break, and he appointed them anyway. I watched Major Garrett. You remember that guy? He used to work for Fox News. He now works for CBS News. Look into the camera this morning and say, the question for Senate Republicans will be, do they want to throw out several hundred years of Senate history, or do they want to just become a rubber stamp and step back and be spectators for this administration? I mean, dead serious. Look into the camera. CBS News anchor says, Major Garrett, thank you. Instead of saying, but Major, wait a minute. Didn't Barack Obama appoint 32 people during recess appointments? What's the difference? How come nobody has the guts to ask that question on network television? I don't know. It frustrates the hell out of me to watch it, but we're not going to stop telling you the truth here on this show.
I agree. I think it's selective, you know, messaging for them. They just make sure that whatever they're saying fits their narrative, yeah, because ultimately they know that's what their viewers are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. The truth, for sure. We might get to Brooke Taylor. We're hoping to get a report here from Fox News. They've got a reporter down on the border because the Democrats are running out of time, right? They got 60 days left to get done whatever they can squeeze into that amount of time, sending money to Ukraine, whatever. Illegal aliens have 60 days left to break into this country and be welcomed in by the Democrats before Donald Trump takes over. And guess what? Daddy's home. We're going to shut the border down. We're going to build the fence. Tom Homan is going to put a stop to all that nonsense. They're expecting a flood of illegals coming across the border. And Fox is reporting from down there this morning. We're hoping to get to Brooke Taylor coming up here about 8:20 before we get Ryan Wiggins in just a little bit later. But first, I want to get to these top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They're back in all of our major cities.
Well, Venezuelan gang has resurfaced in Tennessee, and state leaders are warning of their violence.
Wow. Have they taken over any apartment complexes? I don't know what's going on here. But once again, I'm a little surprised that's happening in Tennessee and they're letting them get away with that. Let me guess, it's in one of the large cities run by the progressives.
I love mythology. And this individual does not exist on this planet. Nobody in the world could have pulled off what he pulled off. So I'm in awe.
Yo, Adrian, yo, Sylvester Stallone introduced Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago last night, and the Tulsa King did a beautiful job.
Actually, he's going to head the Department of Interior, and he's going to be fantastic. Good duck. Congratulations, Catherine. But we'll make the formal announcement tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, how about that? Doug Burgum, Secretary of the Interior. Boy, do we need that, because the federal government has been in a major land grab the last 4 years.
The scientists who predicted all of this decades ago or have been proven dead right should cause the rest of us to pay more attention to what they're telling us now. Do we listen to the polluters who don't want to do anything meaningful that might reduce fossil fuels? Or do we listen to the scientists who have been telling us what we need to do?
Al Gore is on a roll, baby. He knows he's running out of time. He and John F. Kerry for their climate nonsense. The same scientists that told us, wait a minute, in the 1970s, because my parents had that copy of, I believe it was Time magazine, The New Ice Age. I remember the title on it. It said a New Ice Age. So in the 1970s, they were claiming we were going to freeze to death. And then they were claiming in the 1990s and early 2000s, we're going to burn to death because temperature keeps going up. And it was Al Gore that told us by the early 2000s, coastline cities would disappear. Oddly enough, my mother's condo on the beach down there in Florida that she owned for 10 years, the water level never seemed to get any higher. It's the strangest phenomenon.
Remember not that long ago, CBS News had some report on saying that people were coming across our border illegally because of climate change.
Oh, yeah, it's driving it. He goes, if you think illegal immigration is bad now, this is another thing he said in his climate speech yesterday. If you think illegal immigration is bad now, wait till there's forced migration because climate change destroys the environment and people are forced to move to other places in order to survive.
Like we're geese or something? That is not why people are coming across the border.
Of course it's not. But again, the left is in panic mode. All climate change science is an attempt to move money, wealth, from richer industrialized nations to third world countries. That's all it is. That's all the Paris Treaty ever was the United States taking money and transferring it to third world countries, where guess what? They don't have electricity in some places, and if they could have a coal-burning power plant, they're happy to have one. And guess what? When the deals are made on climate, they don't have to deal with that. They're excluded from it. This is the nonsense they've been selling us for years, and they're still selling it. So yesterday, Jennifer Granholm, who I would say, former governor of Michigan, energy secretary right now, is probably on the IQ scale somewhere, maybe a point or two above Kamala Harris, but I would guess not much more than that, based on some of the interviews I've seen with her. I'm sorry, it's just my perception of how she's handled herself in public interviews. But on climate change, she's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they want to do. She was the one pushing these EV mandates and all of this stuff. Yesterday, a reporter kind of got to the core of this question. And the question is, Ms. Granholm, what can you possibly do to lock in some of these climate change gains before you run out of time?
You've got about 8 weeks, I'm sure you're quite aware, to lock in progress, further progress on climate and clean energy before the next administration takes over. How does the LNG export study fit into that?
Yeah. Now they don't want to export liquefied natural gas. Which is another complete disaster. Remember the Keystone Pipeline deal that they canceled, which would have brought all kinds of energy into the U.S. and made all of your prices less expensive. All your costs would have brought all that down. They canceled all of that. These people are insane, and they've been in charge for 4 years. And Doug Burgum is going to change a lot of that.
Yeah, I think he was a good pick.
Drill, baby, drill. Hopefully we're going to get some of that done, and hopefully they can't lock in some regulation preventing that in the meantime. And, you know, here's the thing about it. I'm really disappointed in Al Gore, because I really always thought he was a friend of the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hi, folks. This is Al Gore. I may be bat crazy when it comes to climate change, but I never miss the Mark Cox Show.
Hi, Secretary Granholm. The Trump transition team is currently working on rolling back or killing the EV tax credit. It's been a huge part of this administration's clean energy transition plans, clean transportation plans. What is your reaction to this? What does it mean for all of these investments that have been announced and for really kind of getting to that goal of 100% electric vehicles?
Let me just say, it would be so counterproductive to get rid of, you know, we look at the EV transition in a holistic way. So we provide a consumer credit to create demand. We're providing supply side assistance for the supply chain for building out the electric vehicle and the battery and the guts to the battery. So you eliminate these credits, and what do? You end up ceding the territory to other countries, particularly China, who I know is obviously an economic competitor. If you want to diversify your economic mix, you don't take away the ability to compete globally by building at home. And that means...
I had to play that for you because you need to understand the mentality of Jennifer Granholm, who's the Secretary of Energy. I mean, it's frightening. If you heard what she said there, let me repeat this to you for those of you listening out there. We provided a consumer credit to create demand. So what they're acknowledging there is that there's not a demand in and of itself, that without that credit, without that $7,500 credit the government's willing to give you toward the price of a new electric vehicle, they know fewer people would buy them, right? Maybe the people that are going to buy them are going to buy them anyway. But why would you have to force people to do that?
Well, I mean, just like they were forcing a lot of the dealerships, right, to produce a lot of these EVs, and they were just sitting on lots.
Not the dealerships, the manufacturers.
The dealerships, though, were they would have them even here. Remember the Chesterfield Mall, Mark, where you were?
They're still there.
Is it the dealerships then are required? Why would they then have so many if they know they're not selling? Were they not part of that in some way required to carry them? I don't know.
Yeah, well, they were required. I mean, the manufacturers struck a deal because they got some kind of kickback from the federal government. Suddenly, they're mass producing these electric vehicles, which nobody wants. Mm-hmm. In many cases, even with the $7,500 credit, people didn't want to go. They don't like they have anxiety over the distance these things can go. You know, I drove an EV the other day for the first time ever. My son had a loaner car while his car was being worked on, and it was a BMW i-Series, beautiful 2024 model, right? It was nice.
How did he get a BMW as a loaner car? Was he getting work done in his car, and that
yes.
was what they gave
yeah,
him?
Yeah, he went to the BMW dealership because it was a recall situation, and they gave him that as a loaner car while they were investigating it, right? And he brought it over, and he goes, I want you to drive this thing. And it is, the 0 to 60 is impressive. It's like a rocket ship. It moves fast. But you can also watch the battery length drop when you put your foot into the battery, right? I mean, before you'd say you're putting your foot in the gas tank, now you're putting your foot in the battery. When you step on that thing, if you decide to go 80 miles an hour in it, it's sucking the life out of that battery. And I'm watching this thing when he brought it over. It was about, I don't know, maybe not quite to 50% charged. And he's having to charge it at home with an adapter they gave him for a 110 outlet out of his garage, which, of course, you have to leave it plugged in all night, and you're still not going to get a full charge on the thing even after the whole evening. So if you got a business call and you had to hop in that thing and go to Kansas City, which is 4 hours away, and it's not fully charged, you'd have anxiety over whether or not you were going to make it or where to. I know some of them. I know you Tesla people are going to tell me that there's a thing on there that tells you where the next charging station is, because they have to tell you that. If you've got a gasoline-powered car, they don't, because there's a gas station at every exit. It's just the technology's not ready for prime time for most Americans. They're not willing to do it. And yet you've got ideologues like Jennifer Granholm, who's been in charge of this agency with not a lick of common sense, trying to push a 100% EV mandate within 10 years in this country.
Well, thankfully, Trump's going to reverse that.
He is going to reverse. He couldn't reverse it quickly enough, and they're all freaked out about it, right? Because they know it's coming. Al Gore knows it's coming. Jennifer Granholm knows it's coming. And because we have the House and the Senate, and the White House, there's not a damn thing they can do about it. And it's absolutely driving them insane. So if you're out and about today, you see somebody get out of an electric vehicle, ask them if they need a hug. I mean, they might just need a safe space to go exist in for a little while as the value continues to drop on the $80,000 vehicle that they purchased thinking it was the wave of the future.
So I take it did not make your son Brad want to go buy himself an EV.
No, I think he enjoyed the power in it, but he also agreed that unless you only drove a few miles to work each day, there would be some anxiety connected with the charging aspect of it.
Was it lit?
Thank you. Thank you. And Brad would appreciate that this morning. The dash was lit. It was a cool-looking dash. It's like being in a spacecraft or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but is the trade-off worth it?
I don't think so. And I don't think it was a particularly attractive a BMW as I've seen. I mean, I like BMWs. I like the way they look, but I didn't think it was the most attractive one I'd seen.
He's lucky he got that car as a loaner. Usually you get the jankiest car on the lot.
Well, they want you to fall in love with whatever you're driving and then maybe come back and make a trade for it, but not if it's an EV. I don't think that's going to happen. All right, coming up, we will get to our friend Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, find out what he thinks about the Kari Lake concession video. Was it? Is that race still being contended? I don't know. We'll find out coming up.
As for me, well, I can say for certain that truth will never stop mattering to me. You will never stop mattering to me. These memories that we've made together will never go away. They will grow sweeter over time, and I will never stop fighting for the state I love. I entered this fight with the Bible verse, and I will leave it with you as well. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is for certain we can carry nothing out. It's an amazing Bible verse. It really inspired me, and I hope it inspires you. Thank you for everything. I love all of you. God bless America. And God bless State 48.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, Kari Lake with the non-concession speech there. Sounds like she's admitting that this Ruben Gallego has managed to manufacture enough votes in Maricopa County to pull this thing off.
I'm more impressed by the fact that she's able to say all that very eloquently while playing piano.
Yeah, it was a slickly produced video. It showed clips of her back when she was a news anchor and her campaigning across the state, and it was about 2 minutes long. I couldn't use all of it. She did, however, say, Kim, that she gave up a lucrative seven-figure contract to run for governor originally and now Senate. She could have stayed in television news, but she couldn't take it anymore. Now, I didn't know there were any seven-figure contracts
I'm calling her bluff on that.
But
there's no way.
Maybe she had a multi-year contract that if you added it up was seven figures.
For what, 15 years?
She was making 300 grand a year. I mean, and she had a 3 or 4 year contract. It could have been a seven figure deal. There just aren't many of those in television news anymore.
Yeah, unless you're at the network level and you're an anchor, you're not making seven figures.
When I started here, and I don't know what everybody was making, there were anchors in local news that were making 400 grand a year to be news anchors here, and multi-year contracts that were definitely in the seven-figure range. That was 30 years ago. They have broken the system. They don't pay main anchors that much money anymore. Maybe unless they've been around, I have no idea what Mike Bush makes at five, but he's been in the market a long time. There's a good chance his salary hasn't gone down. But for new people getting into the business, they're not making that kind of money anymore. They're just not.
It's awkward listening to you guys have this conversation as somebody who is making that kind of money.
Well, I'm sorry, Ryan.
We're not
supposed to talk about deal, right? You, this isn't a multi-year deal. You made that much with
1 year.
Deals. 1 year, yeah. Yeah. I get it.
1 year at a time.
Yeah.
Seven figures.
I want your agent, please.
he's really good.
Is he?
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, he makes a good 70% of that. Kari Lake, you know what? The memories that everybody shared, I think Republicans in that state are less concerned about the memories they're going to have and more concerned about winning because she keeps losing. And it's time for somebody to come in and do the opposite of that, as in not lose. because that's the biggest problem. Carrie Lake, hey, she's a fighter. She fights the media. I love that. I love that she's willing to quote the Bible in her concession speech, or not concession speech. I like a lot of things about her. The main thing, though, is that you have to win your races, and she keeps losing those races.
I just wonder why.
We want her to be press secretary. I think that would be the perfect role for her.
Can you imagine if, like, an ABC reporter asked a question, she'd be like, that is the stupidest question I've ever heard. I'm not answering
well,
it next.
Well, Corinne Jean-Pierre's pretty much said things like that, so.
Well, because she's finally being asked tough questions.
I would like to see Corinne Jean-Pierre just continue to be the press secretary.
Oh, my gosh.
Into Trump, and then have to flip all of her positions. Like, well, the Trump administration's doing a great job, you know?
Bring
all
back
the things.
Jen Psaki. Let me circle back to that for you.
She would jump off the portico if they tried to make her do that.
Who would you like to see as press? If it's not Carrie Lake, who would you like to see as press secretary?
I don't know. There's a lot of names being kicked around. You guys talked about Elena Haba.
Yeah, she came out, though, on Twitter and said yesterday she doesn't want to do it. Yeah.
So did Sage Steele. There was a rumor circulating
that
she was in contention. She said, first of all, nobody's contacting me about that. And second of all, I'm not interested in that.
You heard Tucker Carlson.
She made that kind of clear. Maybe Tucker.
There's no way Tucker Carlson would do that.
That was an internet rumor that I don't know that he ever denied it, but people associated said, no, that's not real.
He wouldn't do it.
But there's so many people that could be good at that. The weird thing is, all of the people that he's appointing to these cabinet positions and these administrative positions, they're all good at that.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about them is that they'll be able to not only do their jobs and really start burning these things from the inside out, but explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be important because people are going to go, why are you doing this? And they can eloquently get up and say, this is exactly why we're doing this.
They can sell it.
Like Vivek would have been almost a great press secretary.
Yeah.
Maybe what if Megyn Kelly?
But now he's working on governmental efficiency. Yeah. Well, Kelly's making too much money, too, to take that kind of pay cut. So, Ryan, Amendment 7 passed in Missouri. It had what many people called ballot candy on it, as saying no, non-citizens cannot vote in the state of Missouri, period. It was already that way for federal elections. Now it's that way even for local elections. You can't do it, even if the Mayor Jones thought she could whip up some new votes by doing that. She's not going to be allowed to do it. But that's not the only thing that Amendment 7 was. It was also banned ranked choice voting.
Yeah, exactly. And we were all in favor, I think I speak on behalf of everybody here, saying we were all in favor of that amendment. So that was a bright point for Missouri. Amidst some of the other things that were kind of a mixed bag, and Amendment 3 obviously was no good. But this was good, and not just because of the non-citizen voting, but because of ranked choice. I know you've really come out against ranked choice in the past.
Strongly.
And I don't, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but ranked choice, from my research looking at it, the reason that it's bad is when you're a conservative state, it kind of pushes everybody into the middle more because they have to kind of appeal more to the left when they don't need to, when you're a conservative state. So it doesn't really represent the conservatives in the state when you have to do that.
It's more of a primary issue, in my opinion, than even a general election issue, because that's where they do the most damage to conservatives. If you've got three, four people running, one is the conservative candidate and the other three are rhinos, and on the first ballot, they drop the bottom person, and then you've done a second vote. Who would be your second choice, your third choice, your fourth choice? And then the rhinos consolidate behind their candidate, and your vote just gets thrown out. It doesn't matter. They do it for one reason, and it's to eliminate conservatives in these early races, which cost us a congressional seat in Alaska. Now they're trying to get rid of it. Right.
Well, this is the good news. So voters in Alaska, Idaho, Montana, Missouri, Nevada, Oregon, Colorado all rejected ranked choice voting.
So they reversed it in Alaska.
And that's the big news, is that Alaska, a lot of these states were talking about, should we do it? Alaska's already doing it, and they reversed it.
Yes.
So people like Murkowski, this hurts them because they're kind of middle Republicans, and they can't get by as easily with ranked choice voting. Because the other thing, not just ranked choice, but in addition to ranked choice voting, some of this is coming from the Real Clear Politics, Alaska had also adopted a top four election system, which instead of normal party primaries is what you were mentioning. The primaries open to candidates from all parties. And in areas with a strong one-party presence, the system makes general election day more significant because you didn't do this during the primary, which is where it should happen. So Alaska should see, Alaska has moved to the right over the last few years, but you haven't seen it as much because this ranked choice system has prevented the conservatives from really winning there.
Without ranked choice voting, Sarah Palin would be in the United States Congress, but they had a three-person race, two Republicans and a Democrat, and the Democrat ended up winning.
Yes.
Because of ranked choice voting.
Do you think those,
it's insane.
Like, do you know if in these states it was like in Missouri for Amendment 7 where you had bans ranked choice voting and only citizens can vote? Because I feel like that, the, you know, the ban non-citizens from voting is maybe what pushed this over the edge. Like for Amendment 3, I mean, we were talking during the commercial break. If you would have said, you know, opens up abortion, but also it allows you to behead dogs, it would not have passed. You know what I mean? So did the other states couple it together like we did?
I don't know the answer to that. I followed Missouri's that closely to see what happened. But all I know from the ranked choice is that they denied ranked choice. Whether it was coupled with other things, I don't know.
Because I'm surprised about, some of those states don't surprise me, but Colorado, for example, as left as Colorado is, that one in particular surprises me.
Well, and this is mostly, Colorado and Oregon are kind of the outliers
Oregon,
here. Because most of these states are conservative states where they're trying to get rid of conservatives. So this is a movement to try to sort of marginalize real conservatives. And the great thing is that Arizona, Idaho, Montana, and Nevada all rejected the top four election system. You notice the commonality there. They're all conservative states.
Yep.
So this is a liberal agenda to try to sort of eliminate early on in the process the conservatives.
That's a good point. Got to get to a quick break. Remind people when they can hear Wiggins America, please.
Saturday morning, 7 to 8. Sunday evening, 7 to 8.
Awesome. Ryan Wiggins, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, back right after this.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
All right, thanks to all of our first responders out there. We do appreciate what you do, and we try to show our appreciation every November for the entire month of November with our First Responder Spotlight, where we highlight different agencies every day and thank them for what they do. Right now, we're talking to our friends over at Central County Dispatch, Central County Emergency 911 system that covers St. Louis County, EMS, fire, rescue. When you dial 911, these are the folks you talk to. We appreciate what they do. In fact, a little later this morning, we will be delivering a delicious meal from Grillmaster Tony to our friends at Central County Emergency 911 for answering the call. Thanks for all you do. We'll continue this all month long. This gives me an opportunity to remind you how you can support our first responders and responderrescue.org. Responderrescue.org. Go look at what this organization does. Lisa and Pat have been running Responder Rescue to help out people injured in the line of duty. Maybe, you know, Backstoppers does a great job, and they're there for people that have lost their life in the line of duty. Responder Rescue helps people that maybe they got an injury and they're off for a couple of months and they're struggling to pay this bill or that bill, or it's a medical bill or something. They step in. They take care of that. That's why I chose them to help, and they're holding a raffle right now. I call it the ATF raffle, the alcohol, tobacco, firearms. The alcohol is a basket of bourbon that I put together with the help from a lot of friends like Tom and Mark over at Stolock Whiskey and our friends at Lore Wine and Spirits who've donated a bunch of bourbons for us. Weller Antique 107, Midwinter's Night Dram is going to be in there, Blanton's Gold. A lot of these bourbons that are allocated and hard to get. I've got a bunch of barrel picks in there, Four Roses Single Barrel, Old Elk Cask Strength. In fact, Brian down at Lit Cigar Lounge donated a couple of their barrel pick bottles to go in this. It's also going to have a signed Robert Thomas jersey from the Blues that's going to go along with the basket of bourbon. It's going to be great. Probably $1,500 worth of bourbon there. At Lit Cigar, you get a night for 10 people in their Luciano Lounge, their private lounge, a bottle of bourbon for the room, cigars for the evening, a box of four Opus X Story cigars, hard to get, 2018 vintage, and you're going to get those as well as part of that package. And then for the firearm, it's that CMMG Descent MK4. It's a beautiful rifle. I'll put a picture of it up on Facebook here so you can see it. I got to go out there and look at it. It's a $2,100 rifle with a folding stock. It is just great. The tickets are only a dollar a piece. You get 10 for $10. You get 55 for $50. So the more tickets you buy, and all the money's going to charity, the more tickets you buy, the more chances you have to win. We'll pick three winners at random. The computer will pick them Wednesday, November 27th, the day before Thanksgiving. So please, please help us boost up Those numbers were lagging behind a little bit. We got to get this done before the 27th, and all the money's going to Responder Rescue. Text Responder to 33100 on your phone. That's Responder to 33100 on your phone or your tablet, or you can go to 971talk.com. You'll see a link up there. You can go to the range. You can go to responderrescue.org. There's plenty of ways. I find the text is easy. Responder to 33100. It'll send you a link so you can get your tickets today.
Get your tickets. You know you're helping a good cause. I was thinking about how they'd be probably helping someone like a T.J. Brown, you know, the Ferguson police officer.
Yes.
Who just was airlifted to a rehab facility, I think in Georgia.
Yeah, I'll have to ask them whether or not that they have... That they have participated in that or not.
But
I don't
people
know.
Like him. You know, people like him who have been in a situation like that where they're out of work for an extended period of time.
Right, right. Absolutely. He would be a good example of that. They would be there. They had a lady who had a serious jaw disorder, and she had to stop being a police officer because of her medical bills were mounting and she couldn't go to work, and they've got her fixed up now, and they helped step in and take care of that, what insurance wouldn't cover. And I love what they do. So if you can help out, text Responder to 33100. Brian Kilmeade will be coming up next with the latest on the fallout from the Trump cabinet picks, I'm sure. And, of course, Annie and Mark will be along a little later this afternoon. Have a great weekend. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will be back here with you Monday morning at 5 a.m. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.